Why don't we just welcome Hannah, just so we're kind of participating here this morning. God bless you, Hannah.
Oh, I always, it's not very high, but if you can't see it, you just can come and look at it after. Yeah, I'm moving. Put on your glasses, your binoculars, for those way in the back over there. Ella was amazing, and she got some new pens, because every time I've tried to write up here, I can never see anything, because the markers were... I'll write extra thick. Anyways, good morning. Good morning. Okay, so there's a lot of new faces since I last preached. So I'm a little unorthodox. I don't wear shoes. So sorry about that. Just give a little disclaimer. Yeah, I'm Samoan, half Samoan, an islander. So the last year, we had a big theme of community. I don't know if you guys remember the ones that have been here. And I felt like this today, last night even, I was praying and I thought, oh, I should move on. You know, I've been really nailing this in the coffin, maybe a little, going on it too long. And I felt like the Lord said, no, this is never going to be enough, that we need to continually come together forever and ever, and it will be always important. So this is not to say that for the next 30 years of my life, I'm going to always be speaking about this topic. But for the current future... I will be. But first off, for those that have been here the last year, I want to hear some things that you guys remember that we've been learning and talking about. Because I love review. I'm a teacher. I'm actually not a preacher. I'm a teacher. So you'll probably come to realize this as I share. Yes.
Jesus is into community big time.
Well, yeah, that's so true. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, we spent a lot of sessions on that. Warm culture versus hot culture climate. Who here is from a warm culture? We've got some more coming in. We've got Juan here. We've got Tim. We've got Leonor. I think you guys, yes, Philippines. Woo! We've got a wonderful couple. Amazing. Welcome, welcome. All the way from the Philippines. But you guys live here now. Well, my husband and I have been. We love the Philippines. We love it. We love you guys. Yes. Who else? Is that it? Oh, what you learned.
It's intergenerational.
Interesting. Intergenerational. That's where we're about to head more deeper this morning. Oh, Tobin remembers something.
No, I'm from a warm culture.
Oh, you're from a warm culture. Of course. Yeah, Tobin. We've got some over here as well from warm culture climates. Okay, so the one we talked about is from that. I don't know if you said it, but what did we learn about that? So one of the biggest things that we learned was that the Bible was written to a warm culture climate. It wasn't written to us Western cold culture climate. So when we read the Bible, sometimes we use that lens and we think individualistic, which is not the way of the Lord. In fact, it's probably the opposite. So this is my favorite quote. Hopefully you have it memorized by now. But if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And that is key. We have to do this together. We're going to skip and we're going to head to... Oh, here's the warm culture. This is a little recap. It's really fun. So cold climate, we often think very individualistically versus hot climate thinks very group orientated. And that's how it works in the Bible. When you see the word like, you are the temple of the living God, us, like for me, like cold culture, I think I am the temple of the living God. But a warm culture thinks we are the temple of the living God. Then the word you is plural in that scripture. So we often will think, oh, I have to take care of myself, my body, blah, 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 because God said I'm a temple. But that was not the context of that verse. He's saying that you, the church, are the temple. And as you take care of yourself, as in the church, you're each other, yourselves, then that's when you grow together to become the temple of God here on earth, like kingdom of heaven in earth. So it's very plural. I like to say this, the gospel is not personal, actually. The gospel is communal. And we often will think it's my personal salvation, which there is importance to that, but that's not of utmost importance. It actually is the communal gospel is the context of the Bible. So we'll keep going. Oh, another fun thing we discussed was the privacy versus inclusion. Cold climate is often very private. We write our names on our food. We are in the fridge, you know, if we're living in community. We have our own bottle of shampoo that no one, we can never share with anyone. My husband is from Samoa. He's from a hot culture climate. And
We've talked about this many times, but he that's so foreign to him to think that anything he has, he shares. And it's a community thing. Like, so it's gone both ways where he eats the... He used to live in Hong Kong, and they were a base of many cultures. And all of the Americans and Canadians would have their fridge. The fridge would be full of, like, this is Scots food, and this is blah, blah, blah's food. Anyways, and Leo would come in, and he'd just eat it all. But then he would also cook and share with everyone in the house. He would never think to cook his own meal by himself. That's crazy to him. Anyways, and this is, again, the context of the scripture. This is the way of the Lord, is to share and to be inclusive and to be a community and village. This is my slide of, like, 35, 45 slides or something. We're getting there. This one is so good. This is a quote I read. A lot of people want a village, but many don't want to be a villager. That means people want a strong community for support, but are not willing to put in the effort and sacrifice it requires to be a part of it. Amen. So if you haven't seen that before, heard that, or if you don't remember, that's important. If you want to be a village, because we all need village, you know what the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. We don't really know the reality of that in the West, like what that really feels like and what it means to have a village together to raise your children. But then we always think, oh, it would be so nice to have a community and support. But then a lot of times we don't, just like this, we don't want to actually put in the effort and sacrifice that it costs, because it does cost something to create community. And we talked about this as well, the benefits and the costs of community. There's a lot of both, but I think we discovered that the benefits outweigh the cost. And also it's the way that the Lord has commanded. So that's amazing. This is another part of the quote. But being annoyed is the price we pay for connection and community. It can mean, for example, sharing space when it's inconvenient, showing up when you'd rather stay home, or hosting when you're tired. We're talking about allowing ourselves to be uncomfortable, inconvenienced, or annoyed. This is a disclaimer, but not to allow disrespect or abuse. So there is a difference. But we can be annoyed for the gospel. That is okay. It is okay to be uncomfortable. In fact, if you look in the Bible, who was comfortable? Can you name one person that was pretty comfortable? No. Maybe if you look really hard, you can find someone who had a great little comfortable life. But I don't think there was very many. Maybe that's saying something. We wonder why we feel so lonely. We are paying for convenience and comfort with disconnection. We traded the messiness and beauty of community for the ease of solitude and lost something vital along the way. Our fear of discomfort turned into hyper-independence. Independence is a trapdoor to isolation, and this is ineffective in the kingdom of God. Isolation is a killer, and I've nailed this one pretty hard, but isolation kills you. It is probably the number one tactic that the enemy uses to destroy the effectiveness of the people of God. You isolate someone, they are useless. Because we cannot do anything alone. It is very difficult. If you go through a hard time, you're dead. You fall over. Because you have no one to carry you through, no one to support you through. And there's so many scriptures, we've gone over these scriptures, of how we as the body actually have an incredible amount of responsibility to take care of each other. Sometimes we just leave it up to the Lord. But actually, it's our job as well. There's a verse that says, carry one another's burdens. That's important. There's a verse that says, go and find your brother and snatch him out of the fire, then you will save him. And that's important. We think... So often we just throw off that responsibility, he'll figure it out, or, oh, the Lord will get him, or la, la, la. Or we pray for him, which is good, praying, but we don't get involved, or we just let them go because we think it's too much effort, it's too much work, or it's not our job. But actually, scripturally, I think we went through at least 20 scriptures where it is our job to take care of each other and to bring them back from the lost ways, or to carry one another through pain, or to celebrate one another through their joys. Okay, I love it, Barb. Intergenerational community. The church was designed to function as a spiritual family where wisdom, faith, encouragement, and growth move both directions across generations. Psalm 145:4,
One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. Wow. I like that. One generation commends your works to another. Or shout, like, if you can, that's such a picture, like an image verse. Like, you can picture that verse. You know, like the older generation shouting, and then the younger generation receiving it and shouting back. Well, this is also what God did, and this is what God did. And it's really, really amazing. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. I took way too much time on this picture last night. It was on Facebook. And I really had this picture of this arrow. You know, it's not just one direction. It's both directions. We learn, we receive from both ways. I mean, who doesn't love this little guy in the far right corner on the bottom? He's so sweet. And then we've got Uncle Ken way up here in the top left of the one of the oldest generations. And the generations, you know, these are so important. We need each other. We so desperately need each other. And oftentimes in these days, we have so much segregated things happening, you know, which have its place, and they have good, there are good intentions and good things that come out of them. But we have, you know, our separated Sunday school, we have our separated youth groups, our separated young adults groups, our separated seniors groups, and our family groups, like all these groups, which have its place. But how many times do you notice that in a church, maybe there is not much mingling of the generations? This happens a lot, especially in churches where, for example, the kids leave for the moment the church starts, and then you don't even see them again until you pick them up and go home. And then throughout the week, what is there that there's this, where's the opportunities to connect within intergenerationally? And I just felt like last night that that was really on my heart to press into. And I think at West Ottawa, I have a little discussion point at the end, but I think we do good things. I love that the kids are here during worship. I think that is powerful. It's an amazing experience for them to see and to see and watch what is happening, and then to have them coming in and bringing that joy and disruption is actually good for us as well to connect with and realize, wow, like, we don't have to be so serious all the time. I don't know. Yeah, sometimes we're too serious. We take ourselves too seriously. And a kid is a good reminder to just relax. So, speaking of connecting, you know I love to do this. Here's the time. We're going to connect. Okay, so get in groups of intergenerational groups, 4 or 5, right now for the next 7 minutes. And we're going to talk about these two things. So we've got share one of the most impactful pieces of wisdom you've received from someone older than you in the faith, and share something you've learned from someone younger than you in the faith. So just groups of 4 or 5, just go now. If you're at a table, you guys can just talk amongst the table. If you're missing a young person at your table, go grab one. A few to go around. I see here Rhea and Tobin. You guys can go join maybe this table in the back. If you're young, go find a group of older people. If you're at home, you discuss this as well. Just real quick, guys, just a little quick story. This is not going to take long. 5 minutes. Sounds like lots of people learned lots of things. That's very good. were you guys part of it? Oh, I love it. I love to hear the chattering of the generations. Okay, you can wrap up. If you didn't get to share, make sure you share with someone after. You can come and grab your seat again. Wow, Ken is in the house today, actually. Uncle Ken. Do you see you're up there? You're amazing. Thank you for being here this morning. Okay, we have the next slide. We have some scriptures to read, so I would love you guys to read along with me, and actually I might get you to read, because I'm all about participation, as you may have guessed. So this first slide, we're going to go from the top to bottom, passing faith and wisdom down through the generations. So we've got 4 main scriptures here that we're going to just go over quickly. There's lots more, but, you know, you can't read the whole Bible on a 45-minute sermon, but I'd like to try. But Deuteronomy 6:6-7. So when we're reading these scriptures, we're going to pull out something that the generation above can pass down. So, and I'll write it up here. So who has it? Yes, Judith. Okay, Deuteronomy 6:6-7.
These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up.
So what's a takeaway there that we can write down? Know the word and pass the word down. So the word, I think, yes. God's commands. Yeah, the word. Teachings in all occasions. So teachings. Mm-hmm. I like that. It says like when you're laying down even, you know, just relaxing. Oh, hey, Sonny. This is what I learned about Jesus. I'm going to tell you. Right before bed. Hey, isn't that so sweet to think about that, you know? Yeah, at all times, be sharing what the Lord has taught you. And that means we need to be listening, right? The young people, right? Yeah, we can hear it, but we may not listen. So we need to be listening. Yeah, it's so different, right? Pardon? And you can, yes, we'll get there. Don't worry. Oh yeah, I've got some verses for that too. Amen. Okay, Psalm 78, 4-6. Who's got that one? Oh, Heather.
Where was it? And we will tell them to the next generation. We won't keep secret the glorious deeds and the mighty miracles of our Lord. God gave his law to Jacob's descendants, the people of Israel, and he told our ancestors to teach their children so that each new generation would know his law and tell it to the next.
Wow. That's really good. If you were reading along, that might help you as well. But Psalm 78, 4-6. So that's really good. Thank you. What were some things that you heard from that? Or you see from that, that the older generation can pass on. Don? Won't keep silent. So that means you shouldn't keep silent. That's good. Don't be silent. Sometimes you want to stay silent, eh? Sometimes it's easier to be quiet. But you don't have to. What about the works? Telling the works, the wondrous deeds. I think that's like testimony, testify. Testimonies of his faithfulness. Because we haven't had as long to live, so we haven't experienced as many testimonies and times that God has worked in our lives. So we need to hear that. We need to hear the testimonies and marvelous deeds or something like that. God's marvelous deeds. We need to hear those. We need to hear your testimonies. Wondrous works. I'll add that too. Slightly different, almost the same. Oh, wondrous works. Yes, we need to hear those. Yes, so you don't hide, don't be silent. Tell us the deeds and about his power and his works, his marvelous deeds. Okay, Psalm 71. Oh, it's a passing on of the baton. Like, yeah, because if we don't hear, then we can't tell. So we need to hear so that we can tell. So that's really good. And there was also something about the commands, or the law. It talked about telling the law, the Lord's, the God's law, and how to live. So instruction, I think, law is, God's law is important. Because, for example, like, I guess our generation, we kind of live amongst a lot of lawlessness. So we need to hear that. We need to hear the law. I mean, we can read it in the Bible, but it also is nice to hear it from our elders. Yes.
Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wonders. My mother was an incredible evangelist.
Oh, wow.
So everywhere she went, she evangelized. So my sister is a missionary, and my sister in Montreal is serving the Lord. And I'm trying hard to serve the Lord.
That's so beautiful. That's so good. Yeah, passing down that heritage, it's received and it's acted upon. That's amazing. So Psalm 71:18, what was something we could write down from there? Evangelism, yes. Proclaiming. We can learn that from you guys. I noticed like in the older generation, sometimes it's not true, but a lot of times you guys have really gone through life and you don't care as much about what people think. Which I think is sometimes we get really caught up in that because we haven't really lost that caring so much. And I think we can really learn that from you guys for sure. Personally, I definitely learned that. Okay, Proverbs 4:1-4. Who's got that one? Okay, Barb. Johnny's coming with the mic.
Listen, friends, to some fatherly advice. Sit up and take notice so you'll know how to live. I'm giving you good counsel. So don't let it go in one ear and out the other. When I was a boy at my father's knee, the pride and joy of my mother, he would sit me down and drill me. Take this to heart. Do what I tell you. Live.
I see instruction there. Wisdom.
Yeah, I'm not sure what number this is. Sell everything and buy wisdom. Forage for understanding. Don't forget one word. Don't deviate an inch. Never walk away from wisdom. She guards your life.
Amen.
Love her. She keeps her eye on you.
That's so good.
Too far?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's perfect. Thanks, Barb. So I definitely see instruction and wisdom in those verses. Anyone else heard anything or see anything I can write down? Yes, Stacy.
There's a one-on-one happening with the older generation with the child.
Discipleship.
Yes.
And that's very intentional as well. It sounds like very intentional. Taking that time one-to-one. It doesn't just happen by accident. It can sometimes when you're, you know, that spending that time and you'll, you know, when you spend enough time with someone, you sort of start acting like them a lot, right? But there's also an intentionality behind it. Marty has something that Johnny can bring the mic for.
In terms of the going in one ear, out the other ear, when you're talking to your kids, you can see by the look on their face if it's going in or not. You just look into their eyes and you just think, I'm not getting anywhere
here. There's nothing
going through. It's not working. But in light of that, I've tried to, in my life, to tell my kids about my mistakes. I think it's really good to tell younger people about mistakes, bad decisions I've made. Like I tell my kids quite a bit about the time I got fired. I got fired when I was about 19. I deserved it. I was working for a courier company, and they made you look up in a book what truck to put the parcels on. And I was too lazy. I didn't want to look it up in the book, so I just didn't bother. So I just take the parcel and say, oh, let's send that one to Edmonton, and I'll send that one to Vancouver, and oh, no. I'll send that one to Winnipeg. And I got it wrong a lot. And the customer was paying for overnight service. And if I sent it to Vancouver instead of Winnipeg, it didn't get there overnight. And, you know, it caused a lot of trouble. And wow. It caught up to me, and I got fired because of it. And so, you know, if you just got a job as a young person, come talk to me. I want to talk to you about why I got fired, how to talk to your boss,
amen,
how to fit into the place that you're working, and how not to get fired, because it doesn't feel good when you get fired. So talk to young people about mistakes, about things you did wrong,
so
bad decisions,
amen,
ways you didn't handle a situation properly, and you could have saved a lot of grief, but you didn't because you didn't do it right.
Yeah. It's really good. Yes. Learning from mistakes. That definitely ties into wisdom for sure as well. Like another one that I had that wasn't in the scripture, but I probably could have found something, but it was stability. I think that we are looking, like in our generation, we're looking for that stability. We often are hopping around. Like we don't know where we belong. Oh, Vlad has something. Go for it.
Okay. I may not be as brave as Marty because I haven't shared everything with my kids from my past, but, but there is a great wisdom about one of the wisdoms too. I would say when I mess up with the kid, apologize. I apologize. I think it's important to ask for a kid for forgiveness. And it happened to me on several occasions. Another thing I was going to say is what I try to impress on my kids, truth, even if I don't like it. We need the truth.
That's good.
Even if it hurts, even if we don't like it.
Yeah.
And there are times when truth doesn't feel comfortable, but we still need the truth.
That's good. Amen. Yes, that's with wisdom as well. Like I put up here being an example because what you said really reminded me of that. Yes, Heather. Oh, and Don. Okay, Heather first.
Proverbs 4, further down is even better.
Oh.
4:10. My child, if you listen and obey to my teachings, you will live a long time. I have shown you the way that makes sense. I have guided you along the right path. the road won't be blocked and you won't stumble when you run. Anyway, there's more. I would just suggest you read the whole of four.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks so much, Heather. And then Dawn has something as well.
I think another important thing is identity. You know, we belong in a family, an earthly family, and that's very important when you were talking about stability, that we give our children that identity. And then as believers, that's even more important, that we recognize who we are in Christ. That's where we belong. This is our family. This is what comes with the family. And that provides a really strong foundation.
So it's already 12, so I don't know if I have enough time to go into the next one. But, well, we'll just quickly look at these. So you see there's so many. Mentorship is throughout the Bible. We know this. You guys all know this. You're all super smart. You all know this. But here's some, a couple of three examples of Paul mentoring Timothy and Titus, and there's the scriptures under there. Moses mentoring Joshua and him succeeding Moses' place, Numbers 27, 18 to 23. And actually, in that one, it's really good. It talks a lot about the intentionality of mentorship. Numbers 27, 18 to 23. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun. So that's very intentional. He literally took him. I don't know if he like grabbed him by the neck. And, no, probably not. But he took Joshua, the son of Nun, a man who in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority. So there's a bit, there's a giving there, like a investment. I should have put that in there. Investment. So actually giving something you have and giving it to that young person so that they can grow it, right? It talks about that, the investing in the kingdom. Invest in the younger people, that all the congregation of Israel may obey. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation, and he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed through Moses. I think that's such a beautiful story. It really just shows that intentional investment, discipleship, and also a prayerful consideration. The Lord told him who to invest in, you know. So maybe that's a challenge to you as older people. Pray about who it is. Like maybe there's more than one. Maybe there is just one for now. That's all you have the capacity for. But who are you intentionally investing in right now, this week, this month? Who is it? And it needs to be intentional. There is opportunity for random investment happening, but there's also intentional that needs to be happening. And if it isn't happening, then maybe there's something that you need to change. Or to dive into, implement. Yeah, that's the word. Thanks, Austin. Yeah, and then we've got Elijah and Elisha. We know that story. Elijah gave him a double portion of what he had, and that's just so beautiful. The sharing, the generosity that the older generation can pass down—not just like what you carried, but like Josh says, being the ceiling for their floor. You know, start like that person can start where you ended. You know, and that can be hard. Maybe there could be some. Maybe jealousy or a bit of, you know, insecurity, but deal with that, because actually it's so powerful when you can be that stepping stone for that next generation to achieve even more than you could have. And that takes some humility, but it's important to do that. Yes, Leonor.
In the story of Elijah and Elisha, there is also an intentionality of Elisha to learn, and is like, there were several groups of prophets that they knew that Elijah would be taken, yet Elisha didn't leave, and he wanted and he wanted, until at the end Elisha said, what do you want from me? So there is an intentionality also in the mentee. Yes.
That's really good. And that's the next couple of slides. Part number 12 in a few weeks, whatever that is. That's really important. Yeah, there is also a responsibility on the next generation. But right now we were also talking about your responsibility, right? The older generation, and that's important to learn and to remember. And
you said that about older generations. We're all older to somebody, so don't count yourself out. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, there's always somebody who's younger.
That's a good point. There was something in the question that was really nice. It talked about share something you've received from someone older than you in the faith. That doesn't necessarily mean even, like Lisa was sharing, she's been in the faith for 2 years. And so even though she's a lot older than me, maybe in reality, there's like a, not actually not that much, you'd be surprised. I'm quite old as well, you know. But also like, yeah, that's true. The age doesn't really matter in the kingdom. It's really about maturity and wisdom. And there's so much to learn. In the next, actually, there's a very challenging verse in the next one. I titled it a little silly, but bottoms up, passing faith and wisdom upward. There's some really good verses in here. Psalm 119, 99 to 100 is very, like, it's very good. It basically, it says, and Josh has really inspired me with this and his knowledge of the word. It says in there, actually, let's just pull it up now. We've got lots more to go, but we'll just end with this because there is this other side of the younger generation being able to also teach the older generation. So let's read Psalm 119. This is all to say we need each other. We need you to participate in the community and in the kingdom. Okay, here it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. That's pretty powerful. So there's this, all of Psalm 119 is talking about like the dwelling in the word, and it actually gives you, it gives a sense of like, if you're dwelling in the word, there is so much wisdom that you can attain in a short amount of time. Like if you're dwelling and you're, you know, participating in that intimacy with the Lord. And so, and then there's your favorite verse, 1 Timothy 4:12. What is it?
Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Rather, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in faith, in love, and in purity.
And that comes from that intimacy and the depth of understanding and relationship with the Lord. And so, yeah, that's on us to develop that. We can't just go around expecting everyone's going to listen to me if we have zero foundation, zero knowledge in the word. So it really is what you input into it that you're going to get out of it. Anyways, so we'll have another, it's already 12:10. We got to get to our meeting. So we'll have a part, whatever number it is, next time. Thanks, Chuck.